And I'm pleased to say my guests this afternoon have arrived. It's Rob Hughes and Andrea Frank. I'll let you say. I knew I was thinking about it too much. And when you overthink it.
That's true. Frankham Hughes.
That's the one. Okay, well, welcome along. Thank you very much for coming in.
It's lovely to be here, Andy.
Okay. Yeah, thanks for having us.
Well, pleasure. And let's start with you then, Rob. Tell us, you're here to talk about the Portland Museum. Give us a little bit of a background on it.
Yeah, I joined the museum 2 years ago now as a trustee. I was invited to become a trustee at the museum and been living on the island since 2001. So we're not Portlanders, but we are. So it was a real honour to be asked to become a trustee of the museum a couple of years ago, and Andrea more recently, about a year ago.
Okay. Yeah, it's my second year now as a trustee, and we have a really great little museum. It's very eclectic. It's full of all sorts of different things. So we have everything from archaeology, fossils, shipwrecks, things about the prisons on Portland, and we have a wonderful garden as well. That's a bit of a well-kept secret that we'd like to share with people. Yeah. So
Portland Museum opened in 1929. It was opened by Dr. Mary Stopes at the time. And then in 1932, she donated it to the people of Portland. And so it's the freehold of the museum is held by the council. And then we have a lease to look after the collection.
And we're all run by volunteers. So we have about 38 volunteers that run the whole museum. And we have one paid member of staff. And they rack up quite a lot of hours, really. So they've done like 2,636 hours last year. So it's a lot of dedication in the community. Yeah. And it's great because it feels like having a really nice big family, actually. Mm. We have a lot of fun. We do lots of different events in the museum as well, don't we?
And there are 8 trustees as well.
Yeah, yeah. So there's the trustees too.
Yeah. Yeah, where would we be without all these volunteers? We rely on them so much.
Absolutely, we certainly do. They're absolutely brilliant. And this year we've been doing quite a lot of outreach. So we've been out to Lyme Regis to the Fossil Festival and had great fun over there taking our brand spanky digital microscope over there that everybody really loved. All the children love looking at the microscope. So, yeah.
Sounds like great fun. So you've got a really wide range of different things in the museum there, haven't you?
Yeah, yeah. It's very, it's sort of a collection of all. It started off with Mary Stopes giving her fossil collection to the museum because she was a paleobotanist. And so that's why she was attracted to Portland originally. And so it was, you know, for her, that was her legacy, was to leave that to the island. And then various things have been collected and given to the museum over the past 100 years, because we're coming up to our centenary, aren't we, Rob?
2029, we'll be 100. And how many more small museums can say that these days? So many museums open and close so quickly. Mm. We're fortunate we have a small amount of funding from Dorset Council. And we've had that for the last 3 years, and that's been a great asset to us, having some funding. And then we have to apply for grant funding to the Arts Council or the Lottery
or the council or wherever we can find funding. Yeah.
Or maybe a patron even.
Yeah, we'd have a nice rich patron would be very nice.
Yeah, we'd like one of those.
And we have a little shop as well, so that generates quite a lot of a reasonable amount of our income as well. So yeah.
Is there an admission fee to go in the museum?
There's a small fee. It's £5 for an adult if you're not from Portland. If you are from Portland, it's free. Mm-hmm. And it's about £2 for a child, but a family ticket is only £10. So if you're visiting, it's one of the cheapest family attractions in Dorset for £10.
Yeah, and we have like I Spy trails for the children. Currently, we've got a really fantastic exhibit, which is about the Mammoth Graveyard. So two of our volunteers who are fabulous, Sally and Neville Hollingworth, they are geologists and paleontologists, and they found the Mammoth Graveyard that Sir Richard Attenborough featured on his Mammoth Graveyard documentary on the BBC. So they've given us or loaned us as a temporary exhibit some of the mammoth bones that they actually find.
The teeth and the bones. And it's only actually the second time it's been on show anywhere in the country. So we're very privileged to have had that all summer as our main, you know, temporary exhibition.
Yeah.
The Mammoth Graveyard.
And we have a little trail and an ice by, so children can go round and find the mammoths, and then at the end they get a little prize of a fossil if they complete all the ice by challenges. So we try to make it so that it's accessible to children as well as adults.
Oh. It sounds amazing. Have you got a favourite item in the museum?
I have a favourite item, actually. My favourite item is one of the mummified cats. So we've got two mummified cats that were found in the walls. It's a bit gruesome, actually, bricked up in the walls of one of the old cottages on the island. And the children, that's one of their favourite things as well. And I think what was brilliant for me was them being so fascinating to me, because I'm a cat lover. Mm. Not that I really like the way they were treated, but, you know, I'm fascinated by cats. Was that a couple of years ago, when we close in the winter and we clean all the exhibits, I was actually allowed to clean the cats. So I had a little tiny hoover that's a special museum hoover that you can make it so that it doesn't have too much suction. And so I was cleaning their teeth and their little paws with a little brush. So they're my favourite. What's your favourite, Rob?
You might think, I'm a scuba diver when I'm not in here, and you might think it would be the shipwreck room. But actually, it's the fossils. I love the fossil collection. And we've got some wonderful items. One of them in particular is it's a fossilized turtle that was found in the quarries on Portland and donated to the museum a long time ago. But it's a lovely piece. And I'd say fossils have been, since joining the museum, I've really been more and more interested in the fossils.
And not, that fossil, their background. That turtle... Neville Hollingworth, who's a doctor of geology, he says that he's looked at it and he thinks it might be a brand new species. So we're doing some research into that at the moment as well, and doing a little bit more research into our fossil collection. That's really cool to have them come along and be volunteers, because they really bring that that knowledge with them as well.
I was going to say, when we close over the winter, that's when we do our conservation and research and look at what we've got that needs attention and find out. So although the museum may be closed for a few months until next March, Easter time, work is still going on. Mm. So, it still has to carry on and keep going and keep the place heated.
Yeah, absolutely. But before that, we've still got stuff coming up. So this week coming on Friday, Saturday and Sunday, we've got a heritage weekend happening, and we've got free entry to the museum.
Wow.
So that's really cool. So that's all part of the B-side festival, which is held on Portland at this time of year, which we really love being part of, because it's really great being part of that really great community festival. And so we've got a researcher coming. She's called Lala Imber, and she is from Nottingham University, and she's going to be having these really big maps of the island in the museum, and she's going to get people to talk about their memories and their experiences of Portland, and so they can put post-it notes and make little collages which will go onto her map. And so it's all about people's personal collections to the island, and so that's going to be really interesting to do, because she's going to map that all out onto a map. And then we've also got this amazing 3D map that's going to be projected. It's a three-dimensional map of Portland, and she's going to project different maps, old maps of Portland. And
so you can see the different periods in history and how the island looked and how it grew and how it changed from open fields to mining to communities with more houses.
Oh yeah,
so
and
how
the
it's
military
all changed.
Coming.
And the military and the port. So
so you'll be able to see sort of the timeline of Portland through that. So that's really quite fascinating, and we're quite lucky to get that. It's only been seen on the island once before, and she's bringing that down with her. So we're really excited about that to happen, and to be able to invite the community and visitors to come in and take part and talk about their experiences of Portland.
And it's not just Nottingham University that the museum works with. We've also worked with Bournemouth University. And they were here at the museum in July when we had our archaeology days. because Andrea hasn't mentioned it, but she is an archaeologist.
Yeah, I am. I spend a lot of time with dead people. Lots of bones. I'm the bone lady. So, yeah, they came over and they were a group that helps with mental health and well-being. And they came over and they did lots of stuff with the children. They made, they had ancient pigments that we ground up out of old minerals. So we had chalk and we had charcoal and we had iron and we had clay and we had copper, and we grind them up and mix them with oil, and then we painted a huge canvas in the garden.
7 foot by 5 foot canvas for the kids, 8 foot by 6 foot canvas, like that. In old money.
Yeah.
Metric.
That's white working. I have to say, that's the first time anybody's told me they work with dead people.
Yeah, well, I do. I spend a lot of my time with dead people. And, you know, I wouldn't like to do it with people who had flesh. I like the bones. The bones are my thing. I'm known as the bone lady. But it's really interesting because Portland has the most incredible archaeology, or had, but most of it was destroyed by mining. And so next year, what we want to do as a museum, and we're applying for some funding to the Arts Council for, is to create a community project where we will ask the community researchers to plot all the prehistoric remains that were found on the island, all the sites, all the artifacts, because in actual fact, Portland was really, really rich in archaeology until it was all quarried away. And so there are collars, beautiful bronze collars in the British Museum. There are mirrors, there were standing stone circles, but all of that is sort of lost. Nobody knows it's there. So our project is to digitally map all the sites and the finds, and then also to 3D photograph all the prehistoric collection. We've got a small collection of prehistoric pots and some axes. We've got some flints and all sorts of bits and pieces, some jewellery. And so what we want to do is map them, so you'll be able to access them online and look them up and go, well, what was found in this place on Portland? And then you'll be able to look them in 3D on your phone or on your computer or on your laptop.
It's going to be ongoing.
Yeah, well, we're just applying for funding at the moment. So fingers crossed, we're applying by the end of this month. And that could be something really amazing, because if we don't start mapping that soon, it's all going to go. Mm-hmm. All that knowledge will go. And we need to look after it so people who come to Portland and the community on Portland understands that it was a really pivotal place in those eras and was sort of right along the trade routes from Europe. So, that's pretty good.
It's part of keeping the museum open for another 100 years.
Yeah.
And using technology also.
So yeah, that's true. And then we've got a tour coming up, haven't we, on the 24th of September.
That's
so
2000.
Yeah, C2000. We've got a guy. He's called David Wilkes. He was one of our trustees, and he's written a book. It sounds fascinating. I'm looking forward to reading it. It's called The Longest Walk Home, and it's about. So in 2018, he at an auction he bought a set of notebooks. What he didn't realise, there was an 80,000 word document in the manuscript with the description of a guy called Raymond Bailey, who basically escaped from a prisoner of war camp and then made his way through, against all odds, through the Pyrenees, through Spain into France, and then eventually down to Gibraltar, and then he was repatriated. But he wrote this amazing manuscript about this, and so David Wilkes has written a book about it. And so we're doing this talk, and some of his books are going to be on sale in aid of the museum.
Yeah, that's an afternoon talk, isn't it? It's a Thursday afternoon.
2:30 on a Thursday afternoon.
Yep.
So that's coming up. That's really interesting. What an amazing thing to find. And actually, he's been selling that, and it's gone quite high up on the book lists, I think, some of the book things. So it's really cool to have that.
We'll be
so, And then we've got the poets' poetry thing happening. That's on the October the 8th from 2 till 4. And we've got, last year we had a really fabulous Poets Festival, and we actually won a Weymouth Civic Society Award for last year. For the work, and we did this big big poetry festival where people, we had a competition and people came along and read their poetry, and we had winners, and it was absolutely fantastic. And so this year we're having a small event on the, I'd say October the 8th, where people can come along and listen to people's words and poetry or prose, or they can submit their own poetry or prose, or come along and you know, read it out themselves, to keep that alive. And then next year we're going to have another poetry festival. So it's all happening at Portland Museum. We may be small, but we pack a punch.
We really do at Portland. And it's fabulous. The final event of the year will be our Halloween event at the end of October, obviously, which will be a children's and adults event. We're hoping to theme the garden that we have. We have a lovely bit garden at the museum, so we're hoping to do some sort of Halloween themed areas and scary bits.
It's always very popular with the children. We do children's crafts. We've got some new children's crafts that we're doing, and so we're plotting and planning what we're up to. But we also love dressing up, so we're going to be scary.
Well, I would have thought the bone lady could do something scary.
Oh, yeah, I'm always going with something to do with bones, definitely. Although this year I think I'm going to be a skeleton dinosaur.
Is it very challenging, you know, in the current climate to keep the museum going?
Yes, is the answer to that, in all honesty. Yes, it's challenging. A lot of people who come to visit Portland, you know, we're tucked away in Wakeham, near Pennsylvania Castle, and a lot of visitors will go straight past down to Portland Bill, have a wander around the lighthouse, maybe pop into the lobster pot, and then come away again. And they don't come to the museum, so it's very hard. So we're doing lots of promotion. We've been trying to get more publicity, and it, you know, all publicity is good publicity we can get, whether it's ourselves dressing up and putting it on social media, running around the island dressed as dinosaurs, which
we did that for Dinosaur Day.
It needs more promotion. You know, from outside, you'd only really see our four flags, banners that we have.
Yeah, so we didn't even used to have those, but now we've got some banners to show with.
Yeah, and we do have a car park over the road, but again, it's a very small car park, and that's shared with the climbers and the other people of the community.
And I think the thing with Portland is it's sort of a really, well, Portland is a bit of a strange place, isn't it, really? Because you don't go there on the way to anything. No. You have to want to go to Portland to get to be there. But once you're there, it is an amazing place with lots of very quirky things to do. So, you know, but it is, yes, footfall is always an issue, especially outside the term times for children's holidays, but that's why we have things at events, and we try and offer a service to the community. You know, it's a privilege to be in our community. It's not a privilege for the community to come to us. It's a real privilege for us to be able to host things and do things that the community really values and loves. And we like being a centre for that. And so, you know, in the next few years, we'd like to do some more of that. We'd like to host some music in the garden, maybe. We'd like to do some more events. And we're starting to sort of think and do more of those sort of things as we go along.
The Lyme Regis Fossil Festival, when we were there, saying, where is Portland? Never heard of it.
They said, is it on the Isle of Wight?
I said, no, it's the first lump of rock before there. Between Lyme Regis and the Isle of Wight, it's the first lump of rock, and that's Portland.
Now, if anybody wants to get more information, have you got a website?
So Portland Museum. .co.uk, I think it is.
Yep.
And
it's portlandmuseum@gmail.com.
Yeah, portlandmuseum@gmail.com is our email. And we have quite an active Facebook, so it's quite good to go there and see what we're doing. We have regular updates on that, and so there are details on that about the weekend and what's happening this weekend.
Yeah, we're open from 10:30 till 4:00.
Well, it's 10:30 till 3:30 is our last admission, and we sort of close the museum around 4:00.
Around 4:00.
So, yeah.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like a very interesting place to go.
Thank you.
Yeah, you've whet my appetite.
Oh, well, you have to come and visit.
Yeah, it'd be great.
And come and see our mummified cats.
Yes. Okay, well.
And thank you so much for having us. We really, really appreciate it.
Well, thank you for coming.
Oh, thank you very much, Andy.
Cheers.